with the plight of 7 million Cambodians whose country has been invaded.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 15th annual Oregon Global Cannabis March on Saturday, May 3, 2014. Portland participants will gather in Pioneer Courthouse Square to march at noon through downtown Portland. Oregon Congressman Earl Blumenauer will be speaking immediately following the march. The rally will also feature other speakers and live music. Again, that's the 15th annual Global Cannabis March, Saturday, May 3rd at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, April 29th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. So much coming up this week, so much, in fact, going on this week. We are in the midst of a global climate convergence beginning on Earth Day and extending up to May 1st when workers around the world will give voice to their concerns and their anger in many cases. It was recently the anniversary of the Rana Plaza disaster, in which hundreds of thousands of people were killed because they were not valued as human beings. Their value for the companies, the clothing companies, clothing that we probably are wearing right now, those companies had no interest in their value as human beings, only in what they were able to produce, the labor that made the CEOs of those companies wealthy. So we've got a lot going on, Portland Rising Tide, and Earth First yesterday, putting out the global call for 10 days of action, and that kicked it off Monday. 70 people occupying the lobby of the DEQ. Portland Rising Tide skepticism of state regulatory agencies is probably, and all of our skepticism, fueled by, no pun intended, the DSL allowing Amber Energy 7 extensions to their deadline, despite what even Kitsover calls repeated failures to supply information regarding the project's legality. Also, taking even a brief cruise through Amber Energy's history, there's plenty of pollution in those waters as well. ODOT recently issued illegal permits for Omega Morgan's hauling of tar sands. So it seems that there's one set of laws for some people and then another set of laws for the rest of us. Officials in Madras want to know where the city's water has gone after determining that more than a fifth of the amount required to sell to residents is unaccounted for. Leaky pipes, maybe? Bad meters, maybe? Who knows? Water is gone. But you know what? Water is disappearing everywhere. And the idea of permitting fracking in California where drought conditions are so severe that farmers literally are packing it up and not even attempting to put in crops this year. The center of the country is devastated by drought. And the drought, again, what people don't realize is there's a direct connection between the topsoil blowing away and these massive super mega storms that are hitting. Yeah, okay, it's tornado season, but no one's seen tornadoes like this. And a Western Washington University campus has staged a march in support of a more diverse school, drew hundreds of young people, 700 people. That's a hell of a lot of people in a small Washington State university. And the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, what have they been up to while we were sleeping? They're a scary organization. Launched ads this week in North Carolina and Georgia in a crunch time effort to help establishment-backed Republicans in crowded Senate primaries. They shouldn't be doing that. They're the Chamber of Commerce. What are they doing dabbling in politics? Well, I'll tell you what. Money, that's what. It's a great way to funnel money to Republicans. And the question of whether to allow more exports of U.S. oil and natural gas has become a matter of political debate in Washington. But to economists, the answer is clear. The nation would benefit. That's what they say. Yeah, short-term, maybe financially benefit. But we forget what the long-term costs really are. And moving right along, we are going to be speaking with Ralph Hutchinson. He, of course, is one of the activists with Plowshares. Plowshares morphing into a new form, Transform Now Plowshares. Three activists were convicted last May of intending to harm national security. Yeah, right. 84-year-old nun. National security is harmed by the presence of these weapons of mass destruction. Says we're not protected from anything. Who are we being protected from? Space aliens? Who is going to attack us? Are they going to nuke these lone, deranged terrorist people with the vest thing on? It's so beyond surreal that it boggles the imagination trying to figure out how the Defense Department, which used to, by the way, as most people know, used to be called the War Department. That didn't sell very well. So it became the Defense Department post-World War II. So much that we forget. So much. And that's intentional. As we see right now with Israel is launching a massive PR campaign to try to polish up their tarnished image. The likes of Sheldon Adelson are, of course, behind it. And what people think of Israel's assaults on Palestinians often comes to mind as soldier separation walls. All of this has assured Israel's military dominance, but it has also become a public relations disaster, spurring, among other things, a boycott defense and divestment and sanctions movement. Zionists are having to think of new ways, more subtle ways to defend the occupation. And hence BuzzFeed, the fast-growing soft news website, rose to prominence by disseminating videos of cute animals. Now they're disseminating pictures of cute Israelis bulldozing houses and terrorizing the Palestinian people. More on that later. We want to speak right now, though, with Ralph Hutchinson with Plowshares. And good morning, Ralph. Thank you so very much. I cannot think of anyone I would rather speak to today in the middle of this global climate convergence where people are protesting and many are going to jail for their protests. The criminalization of free speech is well underway. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's first off, an update on the fate of the three activists convicted at the Oak Ridge nuclear site. One, of course, the name that comes immediately to mind is Sister Megan Rice, 84 years old, receiving a sentence of 3 years, and others too. It's incredible that this happened. Can you give us an update on that and talk a bit about protests in these critical days between Earth Day and May 1st, May Day?
Sure. Megan Rice right now is in a federal prison in Brooklyn, New York. She is, we think, eventually bound for Danbury, Connecticut, but apparently the women's prison camp there is being remodeled. So Megan was sentenced on February 28th, and she has been in five different jails or prisons since that time. But she's in Brooklyn, New York, and when we talk on the phone, and she says, "I have no complaints. I'm where I'm supposed to be."
Five different jails. Why was that? I mean, that seems, well, it seems cruel and unusual to be moved that frequently. I know that when we've had prisoners, former prisoners, on the show, being moved around is seen as a form of harassment. It keeps people, family members, it keeps people apart. It makes it difficult to visit. Why do you figure that she was moved five times?
And I don't know how unusual it is, but I would certainly agree that it's cruel. I mean, I think it would be tough on anybody, let alone being 84 years old, to you live in limbo when you're what they call in transit. You never know what night they're going to come at 10 o'clock and say, get up, get your stuff together, and then you sit and wait until about 4 in the morning, and they put you in a van, and they drive you off, and they don't tell you where you're going until you get to the next place, and suddenly you're in Ocilla, Georgia, or you're in a facility outside of Atlanta, and then they put you on a plane and fly you to Oklahoma City, and you wait there for a while, and eventually you end up in Brooklyn, New York, after being flown to Newburgh in the middle of the night.
Is this happened? This is something that happened to
her? This happened to Megan, yes.
That's unconscionable. I feel really stricken hearing that.
It's part of the prison for profit system, because some of these facilities are federal facilities, and of course she's in federal custody. But other places are local jails that have a contract with the federal government to house prisoners for a certain period of time, and so. So that's sort of how you get shifted back and forth and moved around. And then in the efficiency of the federal prison system, you can be transported to two or three different facilities before you end up where you're going.
But that's and the others, Michael Wally and, of course, Gregory Butch Elbert.
So Michael Wally is in a federal prison. He got a sentence of almost 5 years, and he's in a federal prison in Bradford, Pennsylvania. It's called McKean. It's a medium security prison, so it's not one of the country club prisons. And he is pretty well situated there, by all accounts. And Greg Borgi-Obed, who also received a sentence of about 5 years, is in Leavenworth, Kansas.
Good Lord.
And he's in a medium security prison there in Leavenworth. We were hoping to get him closer to home where his family could visit more easily. It's about a 9-hour trip for his wife and his teenage daughter to visit him, but they're going to try to do that at least once a month.
So efforts to have the sentences reduced or have them early release, what types of efforts have been going on?
They have not asked, actually. There have been some efforts to petition the government to give them a pardon or a commutation or early release. They have not asked for that. In fact, they have sort of distanced themselves from those efforts. They believe that they took their action and they understood they were entering into a legal system that was badly skewed in favor of power, and this is the consequence which they bear. Now, having said that, there is an effort will be an effort to file an appeal on the very narrow boundary that they were found guilty of sabotage. And we believe that was a significant overreach on the part of the federal government and a really bad precedent, that the sabotage laws were never meant to apply to people who were guilty of civil disobedience. And in fact, making sort of a political statement by their action, which was the case with the Transform Now Plowshares. So the judge, in ruling the sentence, giving the sentence that he did agree that for sentencing purposes, the sabotage charge was, the legal term is called outside the heartland, which means it's not at the heart of what Congress meant when they passed the Sabotage Act. He could have given them a tougher sentence, and he used that as a way to justify giving them a mid-range sentence within their sentencing guidelines.
I think the judge perhaps understood that this does, in fact, make the government look utterly foolish, sentencing these three people. Invoking the Sabotage Act is scary in any case. We are, in fact, in this time of global uprising between Earth Day and May Day, when many people are going to risk going to prison. And I think, too, that what we want to remember and remind listeners is that if these people, if we don't remember them, if we don't talk about them, if we don't speak with people like Ralph Hutchinson and others constantly, then their actions have been for nothing. The more we talk about it, the more that this is part of our national dialogue and conversation, this is what keeps it in the forefront and increases the value of these incredibly brave, noble actions. So, Ralph, go ahead, talk a bit more about the sabotage laws and how they've been used against activists and political speech.
Well, the challenge, you know, the government faces a challenge whenever it brings that kind of a charge, and the fact is, in the last several years, they have brought sabotage charges against nonviolent civil protesters on several occasions. The judges pretty consistently rule that those are not what the sabotage law was about, but the reality is it has a very chilling effect, I think, on anyone who's contemplating a symbolic act of civil resistance.
Is there any way, do you have a website, do you have any way that people can contact you, Plowshares, or any of the three prisoners that are being held?
There is a website called Transform Now Plowshares. If you Google that, it'll come up. It's a WordPress site, and it has a place that says support the prisoners, or I think maybe the button says write the prisoners, and mm-hmm. you can pull down their mailing address there, and it gives you the basic restrictions on what they are and are not allowed to accept in the mail. Fortunately, in the federal system, the rules are pretty clear and fairly liberal, like they can get photographs and stuff in the federal system.
Thank you so much, Ralph. We're fresh out of time, as always. Thanks so much. Speaking with Ralph Hutchinson with Transform Now Plowshares, this has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Kathleen. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.